Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Now, one of the things that I have noticed is that it is very easy for all of us to get into this habit of putting things off. Are you into the habit of putting things off? I do. It's probably very true this morning that for all of us, we're most likely to put off the hard things for later. We'll always put off the hard things for somewhere later down the road. Well, Congress, so we elected, Congress this last week. Hopefully you went out and voted. Congress continues to kick the can down the road on the budget deficits and on Social Security. They're always kicking the can down the road because it's hard to get agreement on something like that. I don't know about you, but I'll wait until I get extremely uncomfortable before I go to the doctor. If I have a medical condition, anybody else there where you'll just put it off and you'll put it off until you just absolutely can't stand it anymore. Many of us, I know I do this. I wait until the last minute to do my taxes. So anywhere around April 15th in the last week there for me, I put that off because I just don't like to deal with it. Some of you do your taxes as early as possible because you want that refund. But sometimes, most of the times, I wind up paying. So I put my taxes off until the last moment. When I go to work, I find myself very often gravitating towards doing the easy tasks first. I'll do the easy things. I would rather do the easy things first rather than tackle the tough issues that are probably really going to make a bigger difference in my job or in the lives of the people that work with me or for me. We defer. We delay. Those are nice words. The real word is procrastinate. You know, should we start a Procrastinators Anonymous group at our church? We procrastinate. We find all sorts of ways to put off hard choices and the hard changes that we know that we need to make in our lives. It's human nature. That's just really kind of the way that we're built. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this concept of staying power. We've been talking about, how do I have staying power in my life? How can I gain power in my life that gives me confidence? How can I gain power in my life that will be there when I need it? It's not going to fail me. How can I gain power in my life that can be counted on to help me through the challenging moments of my journey, to help me to make it through? And we've been studying this invitation of Jesus to all of us to come and to stay with him. Jesus' invitation is come and stay. Come and remain with me. And last week we talked about to stay with Jesus, to remain in him, to remain with him is to take up his yoke and to start learning to live life the way Jesus would want us to live. And one of the big concepts we talked about last week, if you weren't here, is to take up Jesus' yoke, to live as Jesus would have us to live, to remain with Jesus, to come and stay, is really to yield to Jesus' authority in our lives. And we found that when we actually do yield to Jesus' authority in our lives, then we truly find rest. We find true rest in our lives when we yield to Christ's authority. Staying power isn't a promise for some far-off future. Staying power, this confidence, this ability to live in power and to live victorious, it is not a promise for some far-off future in the distance. When Jesus invites us to come and stay, he isn't inviting us to come over for the holidays and then to go back to where we were before we came over for the holidays. The invitation from Jesus for us to come and to stay is for right here and right now in our lives. It's a fully present invitation and a fully present benefit that we can take advantage of. He says, come and stay with me right here, right now. And the invitation to learn for him, it's for this moment in your life. Where are you at this morning? Where do you find yourself? What circumstances do you find yourself in today? You may be at a really great place in your life and everything's gone really well. Or you may be in this really tough and challenging chapter of your life where you don't know what's going to happen next. Jesus' invitation for us to come and to stay, it's for right here and it's for right now. The invitation to find staying power, it doesn't expire like on some carton of cottage cheese. It does not expire like a carton of milk in your refrigerator. It's fresh. It's new. It's for right now. Anybody, you know, we've got the holidays coming up, and can you just imagine with me just for a moment the smell of fresh bread? You're like, Pastor, don't do this to me an hour before lunch. Fresh bread? There's nothing like fresh bread. You know, and there, you know, fresh bread right out of the oven, and there's nothing like it. How about fresh corn on the cob? So I grew up in Troy, and you go to Fulton's Farms over in Troy to get your corn on the cob. And, you know, whenever I go home in the fall, we always go to my mom and dad's, and it's kind of like, are we going to have corn on the cob from Fulton's? Because it's fresh, and it's just really good. Fresh peaches. I remember when I was a boy, my uncle in his backyard had a peach tree. And we would sneak over there, even when he wasn't home during this time of year, a little earlier, just to grab peaches off that tree. And just we would just grab them off and we'd just eat them right there where we stood. I can't tell you how many times I did that. And then later in the evening, just was sick to my stomach because I ate so many fresh peaches. And my mom's like, you were at your Uncle Bill's, weren't you? Yeah, I was. There's nothing like fresh. Nothing like fresh in this promise from Christ for staying power. It's for right now. It's not for later. It's not for the past. Like so many things that take effort, we can be tempted, if we're really honest with ourselves, to defer or to delay dealing with Jesus in our lives. We can be tempted to put Jesus off until later, until better circumstances come up in my story. And this morning, the Apostle Paul has something to share with us with regard to this promise, this invitation of Jesus to come and to stay. And we find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It's just a very small verse, but it's really spoken to me as I've studied it over the past several weeks. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, and Paul's talking to the church in Corinth, and he says, it's because of God. It's because of God that you are now in Christ Jesus. Some text it just says you are in Christ Jesus. It's because of God you are in Christ Jesus. Others it says it is because of God that you are now, right here, right now, in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. In this very brief verse, Paul tells us that we are in Christ, if we believe in him, and we can receive staying power, redemption. We can receive righteousness, holiness right now. It's present tense. It's present tense. He doesn't say you are in Christ back at a point in time in the calendar. He doesn't say you will be in Christ sometime in the future. He says it is because of God that you, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are in him right now. You are in him right now. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to share with you a little secret this morning. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not just saved for heaven. Okay? If you're in Jesus, we're not just saved for heaven. Your saving faith is not just an insurance policy that you can pull out of your pocket when you get to the pearly gates after you die to say, I got my Jesus papers, let me in. It's not just that. Your saving faith is not, anybody play Monopoly? Monopoly players? Your saving faith in Jesus is not just a get out of jail free card. It's not just that. Does it free you and give you promise of eternal life? Yes. Yes, it does. And that's often the future. Heaven is often in our future if we're in Jesus. Living in Jesus Christ, it isn't just a promise for the future, though. It is a reality that we get to live in now, here and now in this world. It's not a future hope, although it is. It's not just a future hope. It's not a missed opportunity. You know what I'm talking about? Missed opportunities. You're like, man, I wish I really would have taken advantage of that opportunity back there. My life would be different if I had. Opportunity is right in front of you all the time. It's not a missed opportunity. It is a present reality. It is a present reality to live in Jesus Christ today if we are choosing to fully come and stay with him. If we aspire to be followers of Jesus, if we aspire to gain access to staying power, power that helps us be victorious over temptation, power that helps us to overcome the circumstances of this life, power to overcome challenging relationships, power to be all that Jesus meant for us to be. If we aspire to gain staying power in our lives, we need to be living in Christ here and now. That's just part of the equation. We need to be doing it here and now. And I believe that this is the stumbling block that prevents people like us from living in staying power. The stumbling block that prevents people from finding true staying power when it comes to fully yielding to Jesus is we kick the can down the road. We kick the can down the road. We in our hearts, we don't fully buy into this concept of yielding that we talked about last week. But the promise of staying power is for right now. Jesus wants us to live in him right now. And this is such a repetitive, important point, and it's actually so simple, it's almost easy to miss. So as we're talking about living in Christ right now, you know, are we fully living in Jesus right this moment, or have we wandered off, or are we putting off this decision to yield in Jesus right now at 11:18 on 11/11/2018. Are we living in Jesus Christ right now? If we're not, we're kind of missing the point. Jesus commands us in John chapter 15, we read it last week, to remain in him because he knows that living in him now is the key to our future. It's the key. Living in him now is the key to our future hope of living with him in heaven. And so often we live our lives, I run into so many different people where so often they're either living their lives off focused on some future that they aspire to live in, or they're living their lives focused on some past event in their history that they regret. And it's amazing how many people we run into on a regular basis who are not living in the present. They're either worried about the future, losing sleep about what's going to happen next, or they're losing sleep because they have regret about what has happened. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? Can you identify with this? We're either worried about what's coming next or we're regretting what has already happened. But Jesus' command, church, is for us to live in him now. He says, don't worry about the future. And he says, don't worry about the past. I've got those things covered for you. You are so distracted by your future and you are so distracted by your past that you are failing to live in me right now and enjoy the benefits of staying power and victory in your life because you've got ADD spiritually and you're not focused on where you need to be focused. And so are we living fully in the present, in the light of Jesus Christ here and now? The other thing that I find is I read that scripture in 1 Corinthians, because of God, you are in Jesus right now. One of the things that I hear, I even go through this myself on my own journey. I'm just sharing this with you just from an honest place. We put off yielding to Jesus' authority in our lives. And the reason we do is because we think that staying in Jesus is contingent on having a certain perfect set of circumstances in our lives right now. You know what I'm saying? Staying in Jesus is not contingent on a perfect set of circumstances in your life right now. So often we'll wait or we'll defer or we'll delay until we believe the time is right, until things are just so, and then I'll yield myself to Jesus. But to abide in Christ, there's no time like the present. There's no time like the present. The enemy is going to deceive us into thinking that we are not good enough to receive this promise to abide in Christ. The enemy is going to try to deceive us into thinking that you've got way too much red in your ledger to be able to receive the staying power of Jesus Christ in your life. You are way too messed up to receive what Jesus has for you. The enemy will try to make us think that we will never qualify for what Jesus has promised us in the scriptures. He will tell us these lies and say, you'll never be good enough. You're never going to qualify. You've got way too much red in your ledger. There's just no way that Jesus is going to accept you and give you staying power in your life. But the reality is that's all a lie. And the truth is, we need to embrace what Jesus has for us right where we are in the mess of our lives that we find ourselves in. And we need to begin living now in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right now. Right now. Are you truly living this morning? Are you truly living? Because the world will tell you that true living is having the nice car, the nice clothes, bottle of champagne in one hand, whatever jewelry, 15 million followers on your Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Nice big house, no bills, lots of money. And they'll say, that's truly living. And I would say to you, that's truly a lie. Because our hope, our happiness, our fulfillment in life is not found in the things of this world. It's only found when we get right with God. And when we yield to His authority, when we yield to Him and we get this right, then we can start getting this right. If you find yourself having all sorts of conflicts and problems with people around you and you're not happy and people tick you off and you've got friction, remember last week we talked about friction? If you got friction on this level, there's a really good chance you got friction on this level because this ain't right. You got to get this right to eliminate the friction here. And if you're trying to do it by yourself down here, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to kick the can on this, getting it right with God. I'll try to do it myself. I'll defer. I'll procrastinate on doing that hard thing of yielding my life to Him. All the while, it's a struggle. It's a strain. There's no rest at this level here in this life. But when we submit to Jesus, all this starts getting taken care of. When we get the most important thing in our life, when we yield to Christ's authority in our lives, and we're living in absolute honesty. Because a lot of times we like to lie to ourselves, and we like to make excuses. Well, this is why I'm doing this. And we rationalize, and we'll make just a fascinating list of logic that comes up to rationalizing why we say, do, or behave the way we behave today. And we're doing all of that because we're kicking the can down the road and actually doing the real business we need to do to get right with God and to yield our lives 100% to the authority of Jesus Christ. It's this strain where we say, no, I want to do it my way. And Jesus says, come, yield to me. That's where you'll find rest. That's where you're going to find peace. That's where you're going to find fulfillment. So it really gets practical this morning. How do we do this? How do we embrace living right now in Jesus Christ? Because I like to get really practical. I don't like to live in theory. I don't like to live in philosophy. The Bible says we need to abide in Christ. That's a big, heavy, loaded phrase. But what does that really look like in our lives? As I was doing some research about why people put things off, I found that for many people, they simply don't know where to start. A lot of people simply don't know where to start in their lives to live in Jesus right now. What do I do, Pastor? Is there an instruction book? Because this Bible is really thick and it's really big and it's really confusing. It's got a lot of thys and thous and consecrates and abides and all these big words that I don't understand. Just give me the simple steps on how to live in Jesus right now. How do we do this? Because the whole concept of following Jesus can be really overwhelming. Especially if you're feeling like you're coming from this place where your whole life is a confusing mess of anxiety and stress. How do I do it? What do I do? It's funny how you can find powerful wisdom on Facebook. You know? Facebook, sometimes it's the worst thing in the world. Sometimes it's a really good thing. It's funny how you can find these bits of wisdom that fit in. And as I was writing this sermon this week, Pastor Vicki posted something out on Facebook. And she posted it earlier this week. And it was just this little slide. And I think that the answer to how to live in Christ is in this slide. Val, why don't you slip that up the next slide. Just do the next right thing, one thing at a time. That's deep. Just do the next right thing, one thing at a time. That will take you all the way home. Where do I start, Pastor? Where do I start? Just do the next right thing. And the next moral choice you have, do the right thing. Just one step. It is a journey. It is multiple steps. You got to stay at this. You've got to be persistent. You've got to be committed. Jesus is committed to you. Are you committed to him? Just do the next right thing, one thing at a time. That will take you all the way home. Pretty powerful. But that's essentially how we do it. That's essentially how we live into Jesus' words in John 15, where he says, remain in me and I'll remain in you. Remain in me and I'll remain in you. It's the command from the Master that we need to be living into right now. Right this very moment. Another way that I found this interpreted in the scriptures in 1 John, the letter to the church by John, 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. I'll just read the first part of it for you this morning. Another way to put this, it says, but if we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Do you see it in those words? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship and harmony with one another. And while we're walking in the light as he is in the light, and as we're experiencing this harmony and this fellowship with one another, as we're doing that, we're purified from our sins. It happens in the moment as we walk in the light, as Jesus is in the light. Just make the next right choice. Just do the next right thing. Walking with Jesus is something we're to be doing right now. Staying in step with him. You know what that looks like? That looks like walking where Jesus shines the light in our lives. So I'm on day 91 of my physical fitness journey. It's pretty incredible. I didn't think I'd make it this far. But I walk in the evenings, and I try to walk probably a mile and a half, 2 miles every night. Last week, we set the clocks back. It's a little dark now when I go for my walk. And so what I find myself doing in these very dark places where there's no streetlights in Marysville, where I live, and where the sidewalk is not always even, and it's bumpy and it's full of potholes and places where I could trip and fall, I find myself taking out my cell phone. So I usually am listening to a book or a podcast or something like that when I'm out walking. I'll take my cell phone out and I'll shine the light from my cell phone on the ground so that I can see in those dark places where I'm walking so I don't fall and trip and hurt myself. As we are walking with Jesus, it's like walking with somebody who has a flashlight. You know? And as he shows us the light, he shows us where to step. He shows us where to walk. He shows us where to avoid the potholes. We've got to stay in step with Jesus so we can stay in the light. Because if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another. We'll have peace, harmony. We'll have staying power. And the blood of Jesus, his son, will purify us from all of our sins. Staying in step with him looks like walking in the light. Are you walking in all the light that has been shed for you today? Are you walking in all the light that's been shed for you right now? Or are there things that Jesus has shined in your life? He shined the light on some things that you need to be dealing with. And you decided, I'll just kick that one down the road for a little bit. I'll just defer on that one. I'll keep on doing what I want to do here. I'm not going to yield to the full authority of Jesus because I still want to do what I want to do. You're like, ouch. Right? Amen. Are we walking in all the light that Jesus has shined in our lights? Are we living into that? If you're not, I bet you got friction. I'm just saying. The next right thing to do is always found in the light of Christ, shining in our lives. And as we do walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's present tense. Again, it's a here and now thing. It's not a future promise. If we do, we have fellowship with one another. Right now, we're able to relate with one another better. And as we do, he purifies us in present tense. You're working out your salvation every day as you live into all the light that Jesus has shined in your heart. And as we do, he's changing us. He's transforming us along the way on this journey. You might just think that you're facing this thing in your life, this set of circumstances, but God wants to take that thing and he wants you to yield your life to him, and he wants you to follow his will for your life and whatever thing you find yourself in. And as you follow his will, as you're obedient to him, as you do the next right thing in that situation, he's transforming you. He's changing you into the person that he intended you to be in the first place. In the midst of our mess, the circumstances don't have to be perfect. In the midst of our mess, he invites us to stay, to come and stay. He doesn't get mad at us. He doesn't get mad at us and send us off. And I know I'm guilty of having done that with my kids before. When they don't do what I want them to do, I'm like, you're frustrating me. Go to your room. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Jesus doesn't send us off to our room. He's waiting for us. He's patiently waiting for us to do the next right thing on this walk with him. So just a few short moments here to wrap things up. I want to talk about some practical things we can do to set ourselves up to do the next right thing. How do I do this, Pastor? This is so complicated. I'm going to try to make it really simple for you in probably the next 8 minutes, okay? Andrew Murray wrote this book back in 1895 that I've been reading. And way back in 1895, he wrote this book, and it's been helping to form my opinion and my thinking about this whole notion of tapping into the staying power of Jesus Christ. And in this little devotional book, as I was reading it, he writes about how we need to order our lives. We need to order our lives in such a way to make space for Jesus Christ. We need to order our lives in such a way to make space for Jesus so that we can receive and live into this staying power. Now, my dearest wife, your pastor, Victoria, is a special lady. We are coming into the month of November. We've got Thanksgiving coming up. We've got a lot of things to do around the house, big things that need to get done before people come home and we celebrate Thanksgiving. I think all the boys will be home. And so we've got all these big things that we need to do. And so Pastor Vicky and I are both fully engaged in getting our house ready for the holidays. Yesterday, I spent a good part of the day picking up the leaves in my front yard. I've still got my whole backyard to do. I probably won't do that for a couple more weeks because the trees aren't cooperating yet. Earlier this week, Monday, we got our carpets cleaned in our house. They were a mess. That's a big thing that we've got to do. And there's a list of other big things that have to do, but we both have to do to get ready for the holidays. But my favorite thing that Pastor Vicky does to get things in order, it just drives me crazy. I mean, it drives me batty. I don't understand it. Because we've got this big list of all these big things to do, and I come home and none of the big stuff that we need to do is done, and there's Pastor Vicky in the kitchen. What are you doing, honey? I'm cleaning out the knife drawer. What did you do today? I cleaned out all of these drawers. Does anybody, any drawer cleaners in here? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Boy, all this big stuff, all these very obvious things that need to get done around the house before the holidays. And there's Pastor Vicky. She's sorting out old dead batteries. Yeah, exactly. Why are the dead batteries in the drawer? You know, and I get home the next day and all this big stuff still needs to be there. And she's like, you won't believe how many prescription medications I threw away today. Because she was cleaning out the medicine cabinet. I'm like, Victoria, who's going to come to our house during the holidays and look in the medicine cabinets? next day I come home, and she's like underneath the cupboards right there in the kitchen. I'm like, what are you doing? She says, I'm cleaning out the potato bin. I'm like, we need therapy here. I'm thinking about all these big things, like cleaning the fireplace, getting the chimney swept out, getting the garage ready, getting the rooms ready. And there's Pastor Vicky sorting out, you know, playing cards or something like that in one of our drawers. And the whole house is just kind of a disaster. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she just kind of looked at me one day when I brought this sensitive subject up. And she says, look, she's like, I need to get these things in order so that I can enjoy the holidays. I need to get this stuff in order so I can enjoy the holidays. She's like, you don't understand. I don't want to have to look for stuff that I need when we've got company here. I want to make sure everything's where it's at. I want to make sure things are in place, and I want the junk out of the way. I want the clutter out of the way so that I can be ready. Otherwise, I won't enjoy the holidays. She goes, I don't want to be embarrassed if we're working in the kitchen and one of the guests looks in my potato bin. But it's kind of funny, but I started to get it. You know, she was like, I'm doing this to prepare. I'm doing this behind the scenes work, the in the drawer work. I'm ordering what's inside so that I can enjoy what's outside down the road. And you see what she's doing? You see what's going on there? She can't get things in order unless she starts in the drawers. She was getting things in order in the areas that can't be seen now so that she could be fully prepared to reap the joy and the benefit of enjoying company when they come later. Part of being able to live in Christ now means that we have to get things in order in our hearts, in our lives. We got to get our drawers cleaned up. Inside, we got to get things in order. And outside, things that are visible that people see, we've got to get in order also. So I thought for just a second this morning as we close thing out, let's look inside the drawers of our hearts and our minds and our lives. First of all, as you're sitting here this morning, I just want you to give this some thought this morning. I'd encourage you to evaluate the drawers in your life, in your heart. Evaluate your inner life with Christ. Is it in order? Is our inner life with Christ in order? Are we setting time aside to pray on a regular basis? Are we setting time aside so that we can get into the Word and consume the Word so that God can speak to us? Are we making time? Are we making space in our lives so that we can reflect and meditate on God's voice right here, right now, where we're at? Because I don't know about you, but I can get really busy really fast, and I can totally kick the can down the road on making time to pray or getting into the Word or finding some time to reflect and meditate just on what the pastor said during the service this morning. How's our inner life? What do those drawers like? And then we need to order our outer life too, the life that everybody else sees. Are we doing the next right thing? Are we ordering our life to do the next right thing right now so that we can keep on making progress in our life with Jesus Christ? Are we, and you know, when I think about our outer life that we need to put in order, go clean your room, kid. When I think about things that you can see, are we making moral choices? Are we making moral choices even when nobody else is looking? That's getting our outer life in order. Are we making moral choices even when nobody else is looking? Are we taking the high road? Friction, right? On this level, are we taking the high road in all of our relationships? And so often it is so easy to go down into the muddy pit and get into it with somebody else, isn't it? Be honest with me. Come on, I know it is because I lived down there some of the time and I got to pull myself out. Are we taking the high road even when it would be easy to get down in the mud and get down and dirty with other people in our lives when there's friction? Or are we the one who is the agent of grace and the agent of mercy even when it's not deserved? Because that's the way of Jesus. Are we acting as agents of generosity in our lives? Boy, I have never seen a church as generous as Maplewood. You folks are really generous. Does that carry through all the way through in our lives? Are we being agents of generosity, ordering our outer life? This is what it means to yield to Jesus right here, right now. You want to know what you need to do next? This is what you need to do. Are we being a diligent worker in all that we do? Are we being a diligent worker in all we do? Doing our very best in every role in our life as if we were doing it for God. Whether you're a worker, an employee, whether you're a manager, whether you're a student or a teacher, whether it's just even in your own household as a family member, are we diligently living into all of the roles in our life, doing the best we can as if we were doing or as if we were serving Christ Jesus in any of those roles? And here's the other kicker for you, and this is the one that's hit me square in the eyes, ordering our outer life. Are we taking care of ourselves physically? Now, this is the one that the Lord's really been talking to me about. He's like, you are out of shape. You are not being a good steward of the body I gave you. And if you don't do something about it, you're going to get sick and you're not going to be able to do the things that I've called you to do. You're not going to be able to take care of your church. You're not going to be able to take care of your family. It's going to cost a lot of money and you're going to be miserable. Now, for some of us, we're fighting with physical things. I know we are. And there's only so much that's within our control. But are we doing everything we can do? Are we cooperating with our doctors? Or are we waiting until the last minute? You know? Are we taking the medicine when we're supposed to take it? Are we doing the right things with our diet the way the doctors told us? Wait a minute, Pastor. Wait, that has nothing to do with church. Your body's a temple, right? Your body's a temple. These are things we need to order our life. We need to evaluate. Are things in order? Is there something that Jesus is talking to you about in any of these places where you need to get things straightened up so you can make space for Him to move in our lives? Because sometimes our drawer looks like that picture right there. There ain't nothing getting done with a drawer like that. You're going to spend all your time looking for stuff. You're going to spend all your time and energy and all your calories rummaging around when you could have had things ordered the right way so you could be much more efficient in the way that Jesus is working in your life. As we order our inner life and our outer life, all these things help point us to the next right thing that we should be doing in our lives that get us right with God so that we can be right here in this life right now, in the right way. You may have asked, why does it feel like I'm not connecting with God? Why am I so disillusioned with church right now? Why am I struggling in my walk with Jesus? All common questions that people ask. Maybe, just maybe, as your pastor, I can help you diagnose this. You can diagnose this morning. Maybe you feel that way. Maybe you're going through those struggles because maybe, just maybe, we've been kicking the can down the road in terms of yielding our lives 100% to Jesus Christ and fully surrendering to Him and walking in all the light that He's shedding in our lives and doing the next right thing in our lives. Are we fully yielding to Christ? Because it's not for something down the road. It's not a missed opportunity in the past. He says, come and stay with me right now. Right this moment. How will you choose? How will you decide? Are you walking in all the light that He's revealed to you right now? If you are fully 100% honest and accountable, are you walking in all of that light? It is so easy to get into the habit of putting Jesus off until later. Not now, Jesus. Not now. I'm busy doing other things. I would, Jesus. I would do it. But I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do next. Maybe later, Jesus. After I've done my thing for a while. Maybe it's time to stop playing games and it's time to start taking the next right step. Amen. Right now. Into the staying power that we all desire so much.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene. a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.